Hello, and thank you for listening to the podcast of the Vineyard Church Maryville here in Maryville, Tennessee. If you haven't already, you can visit our website to find out more information about our church or to find our full audio archive with all of our messages. So you can find all of that at www.vineyardchurch.us, or you can also subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts. Now, let's hear this week's message.
Hey guys, good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. Aaron is at Springbrook, our other venue, but you get to be with me. I'm Sharon. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so excited about what's going on with Must Have Gifts already. I get to give you guys an update and totals of where we are. So far, so good, thanks to your generosity. Every year, I always am so overwhelmed by thinking, man, like, there's so many things and so many people I want to help and so many things I want to do. But I'm like, I'm just one person. But then every year together as a church, we do such incredible things together. And I'm just always reminded by the fact that I could never do alone what we could do together. And so as evidence of this already, you guys, we're just halfway through December, and for the LeBoard Water and Electricity Project, we've already raised $13,830 towards our $20,000 goal. Yes, that is so exciting. Please just make that a matter of prayer to continue to do that. Also, it is in our hearts to gift at least 2 cars away to families in need, and our goal is $10,000 for that. And so far, we have raised $5,710. So again, thank you so much. And last but not least, the Abercrombies, who Josh was just talking about. Our goal is $10,000, and so far we've raised $6,437. And again, we are well on our way. I want to remind you that all end-of-the-year gifts to Must Have Gifts or the church or anything, they have to be postmarked by December 31st, just so you guys know that. And also, I just want to highlight the fact that Daniel and Natalie Abercrombie and their families, Tanner and Reagan, are here. They are with us. I saw them in the back somewhere. You guys can wave. You don't have to stand high. We love you all. So a lot of you all have asked. So they are back in the States. They're usually not back this often. They were just here this summer, I believe. And they're back again because things in Haiti have gotten so dangerous. And this is the first time they've ever come back because of that. And their hearts are a bit broken. They're very torn. They don't know what to do. They want to go back. That's their home. That's their life. The good news is their clinic is still doing well. It is still up and running. They have people running it there. It was just getting less and less safe for them. Honestly, just white people traveling the roads and getting supplies and all the things. And so anyways, just be in prayer for them. Obviously, we're raising money. We're making sure the clinic is happening, all that stuff. But please continue to keep them in prayer, because this is a very difficult decision of when to go back and how to live while they're here and all that kind of stuff. So you guys will be praying for them. Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. A couple of things today. The only other announcement I think I have for you is just to remember that the Sunday after, just like Josh, Michael said, the Sunday after Christmas, we will be online. And that's also, we call it worship at home. We've been doing that even before we did, you know, real worship at home and stuff. But it really is a powerful time for you and your family to get together and truly, truly worship at home. It's not like a Sunday for us all to skip worshiping the Lord, right? We're all just like, hey, we're just going to give everyone a breather around here, but we hope that you'll take advantage of that. All right, today we have a special guest. We're super excited. Today, AJ Jones is bringing us the word. We are really excited. If you guys know AJ, here he is. We love AJ. AJ is, he's one of our ushers. Shout out to all of our ushers. We don't get to shout out to our ushers very often. It's a huge role. We're very thankful for you. AJ has been a group leader. He's done all kinds of ministry work. He's truly evangelist wherever he goes, in neighborhoods all throughout Blount County. And on this third week of Advent, I can think of no one better to talk about joy than this guy. And I'm sure you'll see why. So here's AJ, and I'll see you soon.
What's up? Can y'all hear me? Is this good? Do I need to get the other microphone? Am I good? 1, 2. Good. Okay. We're good to go. Right there if I need it. How's everybody doing today? I'm excited to be here today, excited to be here, get to talk to y'all about joy. So let me tell you, two things about me. I love Jesus, and I love talking about Jesus. So if I start talking a little bit too fast, just buckle your seatbelt and enjoy the ride, okay? Here we go. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to dive into it. I only got 12 hours to speak to y'all. Here we go. Lord, I come first, want to tell you thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I worship you. I love you, Father. I just pray that you just move me out the way, Lord, that people here don't see me. They just see you in me, Father. Father God, I just thank you. I praise you, and I love you. And these things I pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go. We got joy, and I'm happy. But today, listen to what I want you to do. I want you to take your worldly point of view of joy and throw it in the trash. Because we're going to get supernatural, we're going to get spiritual, we're going to talk about Jesus, we're going to talk about joy in the lens of Jesus, not in the lens of what the world wants us to think that joy is. Okay? Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? Come on, I need some feedback. I love feedback. Yes, I love it. So true joy. Give you this one?
Yeah.
Okay. How do I cut this one off? Am I good? You sure? One, two. Okay, here we go. True joy, listen to me, is an amazing supernatural experience that only God can give you. I don't want to talk about just regular joy, like I just said. I want to talk about joy in the Jesus point of view. I want to talk about spiritual joy. I want to talk about supernatural joy. I want to talk about the joy that comes from within. The thing about this joy, listen to me, is joy will trump happiness any day of the week. Okay, happiness, think about it. Happiness, something has to happen in order for you to be happy. Okay, so joy trumps happiness any day of the week. Happiness is more material feel, where joy is more spiritual feel. I can, listen to me, let me explain to you this way. I can be happy that I ate my favorite food. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? But I can still feel joy in the midst of starvation. That's how joy works. See, when you think of the sovereignty of our Savior, and you think of all the love he has for us, the power he holds in his hands. When you really think about all these things, listen to me. It will make you weep. It'll make you humble. It will put you on your knees when you really just think and soak those things in. But the same God that we bow to is the same God that'll wipe every tear, pick you up, turn you around, instill a hope in you, a peace in you, a joy in you, and a love in you that nobody can explain. Listen to me, this joy that I'm talking about, it's a package deal, y'all. It comes with the peace. It comes with the hope. It comes with the love. It comes with all that. It's a package deal. This joy is accompanied by all of those things. This joy is beyond understanding. It's above our comprehension. And it's so deep within us that a lot of times we don't even realize we have it until we need it. Ain't that funny how God works sometimes? Like when we feel like our back's against the wall, we don't know what to do. Something that's deep instilled in us comes out to bail us out where no words or nothing can help us. Joy is so supernatural that at the very moment, listen to me, I've had this happen to me. At the very moment I feel down, I feel a peace beyond understanding. I feel a love somehow beyond comprehension. And it's always followed by a joy that's deep within me. It's always followed by some type of joy that allows me to think of the glass half full now instead of half empty. It's amazing how joy works. Y'all coming with me? Listen to me. There's a verse in James 1:21. There's a verse, and I love this verse in James 1:21. And the verse says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word which can save you. When you accept Jesus, listen to me, there's a word that is planted so deep within you, and it's the word of God, it's the gospel. And listen to me, the thing about this word that's planted in you, once you accept Jesus, it's always wrapped in joy, it's always wrapped in peace, it's always wrapped in hope. It's always wrapped in love. It's when you accept Jesus, you're accepting all of these things all at once, and it's mixed all in there just for you. See, when I think about this joy, this supernatural joy, and I think about all the things that's going on in this world right now, when I look at us as believers, how grounded we are, how supernaturally safe we feel, it's because we've accepted a word that's planted within us that can save us, and that's wrapped in all of these great things that keeps us going, that keeps us being able to minister and speak to other people to pull them out of their mess. And I'm reminded by a story, and I love this book of Nehemiah. I love it. It's one of my favorite books. And the thing about the book of Nehemiah, if you've never read the book of Nehemiah, I'm about to read it right now. No, I'm just playing. Listen, if you've never read the book of Nehemiah, I challenge you to read the book. But I'm going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit. And that what goes on in the beginning, Nehemiah says a prayer. And the wall is being broken down. He says a prayer. God answers his prayer. He goes to the king. The king grants him to be able to go back to his hometown to build the wall. Now, they don't just go and build the wall. He doesn't just go. It's some opposition that goes. They literally have to guard the wall 24-7. They're building and they're holding swords at the same time while they're trying to successfully get this wall built. But my favorite part about the book of Nehemiah, as soon as they finish building the wall, they have church. They have a revival. It says in the scriptures, it says that Ezra, when the Israelites on the seventh month says they wanted Ezra to read the law of Moses. They wanted him to read the word of God, right? And it says that Ezra read the word of God from daybreak to noon. Not only did he just read the word, but they translated the word to the people that was there. So they had a church service. They had a revival. And I can imagine that the Israelites hear the word of God, and it's so powerful, and they don't even know what to do with it. So they mourn. Scripture tells us that they mourn, they weep. Scripture tells us that Ezra read that law and they didn't know what to do with it. Not only did he read the word, but the Levites, Ezra, Nehemiah, they're translating the word to them so they can get a better understanding of how powerful God's word and what God's word is really telling them. So in the midst of having church and having just a regular revival, they're getting a feeling, a supernatural feeling and a supernatural understanding. Now, it doesn't say, if you read the scriptures in chapter 8, around verse 10, it says that they were weeping and mourning. Now, it doesn't say why they were weeping and mourning. It doesn't break it down why, but I can only imagine why they were weeping and mourning. They're hearing God, some of them probably hearing God's word for the first time being translated to them, right? And they're like, oh, God, what do I do with this? This is so humbling. They're probably thinking, you know, how low I am, how sovereign God is. I don't know what to do with this. So they're humbling themselves and they're weeping and they're mourning. But Nehemiah 8:10 says, this day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to say that one more time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to be reminded of how powerful God is. And so they get this word, they're accepting this word, they don't know what to do with this word, so they're weeping and mourning over this word, and Nehemiah comes and says, ho, don't weep. Now's not the time to weep, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, the thing about the joy of the Lord, let me break it down to you this way. No matter how powerful God's word is, when you understand that he is on your side, you're not weeping out of fear. You're not mourning out of sadness. You're mourning and weeping because you realize his sovereignty and how much he's on your side. And sometimes you just have to be reminded, God is on my side no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what kind of sickness I have, no matter during this season that my loved ones are God, that the joy of the Lord is my strength and God is on my side. They had to be reminded of this. Let me break it down to you a little bit more. Me, I'm an athlete. I used to be. And when I used to box, I played football. And let me tell you, my daddy got a loud mouth, okay? And my daddy would yell, he would scream, he would do all of these things, and he would scare some people. But listen to what I'm telling you here. I said that to say this. When my daddy would yell, when my daddy would even yell at me, the moment that I knew that he was on my side, his yelling didn't bother me. His yelling caused joy to come in me because when he wasn't there, I felt some type of way. When you realize that the joy of the Lord is your strength, those loud words and those soft whispers that God give you, he turns your weeping and your mourning into instant joy no matter what situation you're going through. Because at that very moment, you realize that happiness can't get me out of this. Only an inside joy that only God can place in me can get me out of this. So you have to accept that word, that joy that is planted so deep within you, and accept it because it can save you. So when I think about my life and I think about the things that I'm going through, and I think about the happiness, the worldly happiness that I search for, that worldly happiness is something that's temporary, but that joy that God has planted within me is an eternal joy. And in the midst of my starvation sometimes, I can still be happy and I can still praise Jesus. Hallelujah, no matter what I'm going through. Come on with me. I told you I get excited when I get to talk about Jesus. I get excited, but I don't have much of your time. I'm not going to take much of your time. I only got 12 hours, 11 hours, 59 minutes. So listen to me. It's Christmas time, and so I'm going to get a little Christmassy. And I understand that Christmas can be rough on some people, and it can be great for some people. One of my favorite songs in Christmas, when I come, I say, it's the most stressful this time of the year. No. Yeah, it is in my house, at least. I got a lot of kids. So when I think about this, when I think about that scripture, and I think about the God in the Old Testament, the God, the same God there, is the same God in the New Testament. Okay? So when I think about this, the same God that they're weeping for in Nehemiah, I don't know how many years later it was to Luke, but the same God is there too. And one thing that I like about this is the word, listen to me, the word is being spoken to them in Nehemiah, but this is the great part. This is the great part. Y'all listen to me over here? Y'all got me? Y'all listen to me right here? This is the great part. Y'all ready for this? Drum roll. Listen to me. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen to me. They listened to the word. It was powerful. They mourned on it. And God loves us so much, he says, that's not enough. I'm going to become flesh and dwell among you. Okay? So listen. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, the town of David, a Savior has been born. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. He says, so listen to me. An angel of the Lord appears. The people that are standing there, it says they had fear, okay? One thing I realize about our loving Savior is when he appears, he causes fear, but at the same exact moment he causes fear, it's the same exact moment he says, do not be afraid, do not mourn, do not weep, I'm on your side, and it's followed by a joy. Listen to me. If Satan shows up at your doorstep, you're going to probably take off running. But when God shows up at your doorstep and you may feel a fearful because of his sovereignty, he says, wait a minute, get up. Wait a minute, stand. Wait a minute, I'm on your side. Don't weep, don't be afraid, don't mourn, because I'm bringing you joy. So he says, not only does he tell the Israelites in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength, but he becomes flesh, the word becomes flesh, and he says, I come to bring joy to all people, not just the Israelites. I come to bring joy to all people. Great joy. I come to bring good news, the gospel. That's what I come to bring. So in the midst of everything that you're going through, he's saying there's a joy. All you have to do is to accept it. And there's a joy that is planted deep within you that will save you. He says, I bring good news that will cause great joy. So when I think about that, we serve a God that loves us so much that he was born in a manger, right? Born in a barn, and said, I'm coming to bring you great joy. And he came down, he was born, he was nailed to a tree, and he still didn't say nothing, but it's finished, and forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Not so we could have this joy forced upon us, but so we could have this joy, so we could accept this joy. I don't know if y'all can comprehend that love that I'm here feeling right now, but that's a whole different type of supernatural love. That the word can become flesh, can bring us joy, and all we have to do is accept the joy, that he's not going to force the joy on us, but we have to accept the joy, and it's there. He has his hand out. He says, just take my hand. So when I think about this joy, I don't have much time. See, I got a timer up here. When I think about this joy, I'm reminded what Aaron said last week. And out of all the stuff that he said last week, I soaked it up like a sponge. But there was one thing he said. He talked about the peace with God, and he talked about the peace of God. And he said, peace with God is God and sinners reconciled. And he said, the peace of God is how close we walk with Jesus. The joy of the Lord, the joy of Jesus, that really feel this joy is how close are you walking with Jesus. Listen, if I just came to tell you, if you're not feeling that supernatural joy and you're feeling like the glass is half empty all the time instead of half full, take about 3 steps back and say, how close am I really walking with Jesus? Self-check. I had to do the same thing. How close am I really walking with Jesus? How much am I really following his word? How much do I really believe and really putting into motion what I'm reading about? Am I one of the people that just come to church on Sunday to socialize? Or am I one of the people that Monday through Saturday, I really follow Jesus? So in the midst of my submission to Jesus, in my midst when I'm weeping, in the midst when I'm down on my knees, why am I not feeling this joy? Well, it's not Jesus' fault. Sometimes it's a self-check. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, how close am I walking with Jesus? And one thing about walking with Jesus, listen to me. When you accept his word, when you walk in his presence, and you walk in his footsteps, and you get out of line a little bit, he get that little spiritual bat out and he whoop that butt. Pow, 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 he whoop it. But when he whoop that butt, pow, 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 if you run from it, I don't know if y'all know, but if you run from yourself, if I pull this belt and I hit you with the end of that belt, pow, it's going to hurt worse. But he's whooping you because he wants you to get closer to him. Think about that. When you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, if he turns around to whoop you, he's going to miss you because you're right up him. You're right there with him. You're right there with him. But the farther you get away from him, he has to reel you back in. So I stopped here this morning to tell you, I'm not going to take too much of your time. How close are you walking with Jesus? How close are you walking with Jesus? Are you really feeling that supernatural joy that we're talking about that only God can give you? Or are you searching for a material-filled, worldly happiness that can go away just like that? Listen to me. You can lose your house. You can lose your cars. Your lights can get cut off. But with that supernatural joy that's instilled in you, you still feel the presence of Jesus. Listen to what I'm telling you here. I said in the midst of starvation, you can still feel joy. There's no devil in hell that can take that from you. He can't take it from you. Scripture tells us, resist the devil, he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to joy, he will draw near to you. Draw near to peace, it will draw near to you. Draw near to hope, it will draw near to you. Draw near to love, and it will draw near to you. And the enemy has to run from that. He can't stay around it. The enemy can't be in the same place where the presence of God is. He's got to respect it, and he's got to reject it and run. Has to. So in this season, I know it's hard for some, and it's great for some. We have loved ones that are not going to be here. We have COVID that's going on. We have all this political divide, racism. We got all of this crazy stuff going on. But I'm going to tell you one thing that AJ can depend on is the joy of Jesus. It's the hope in Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. And if I can't give you anything else, if you come to me, I'm going to give you some joy. I'm going to give you some hope. I'm going to give you some love. And I'm going to give you some peace, because that's the only thing that I can offer you. So in this midst, when you're going through and you feel like your back's against the wall and you're alone, it may be the first time you're going to spend Christmas without a loved one. It may be all of that's going on and through your head and you're like, how can I get through this whole situation? Jesus, accept his word, because he's going to give you a sense of peace. He's going to give you a sense of hope. He's going to give you some love beyond comprehension. He's going to give you all of that all at one time. And it's going to be wrapped with a supernatural joy that nobody can give you. No words, no money, no material things. Only Jesus can give you this. And at the very moment you get this, at the very moment you get this, your heart changes. Your mind changes. Your frown turns into a smile. But this is what I love about it. This is what I love about Jesus. This is what I love about it. In the midst of your submission, in the midst of your crying, in the midst of your weeping and your submission and your sadness, you're still in submission, but you're joyful. And when you stand up, you realize that there's a supernatural God that has your back. And you're able to walk the streets wherever you go. And people can look at you and say, how are you going through what you're going through? And that's when you say, if it wasn't for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. That's the difference between a supernatural joy and a material-filled happiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come first. I want to tell you thank you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I worship you. God, I just pray that you just touch everybody in here right now in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody in here right now, God, that's feeling a sense of sadness, that's feeling a sense of hopelessness, that's feeling a sense of no peace right now, I pray that your presence fall fresh among them right now. And what they feel right now is a sense of love beyond comprehension, a peace beyond understanding, Lord, and a joy that only feels from the inside. I pray that they feel it right now. In the name of Jesus. I understand, Lord. I understand that the enemy wants to attack our minds. He wants to attack our hearts. He wants to try to attack what he can't get from us. But we understand that he can't get it, and we resist it, and we accept that joy that's planted within us, Father. We will start to see things differently. That glass will be half full and not half empty. And in the midst of our submission, in the midst of our bowing to you, we will feel an instant joy. And Father God, I just pray that you just be in the midst of everybody in here, their families, their loved ones, Father, that they over, that the joy that's filled up in here today when we walk out is overflowed, and whoever we walk by, they experience your joy as well. Jesus, we love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, AJ. That was incredible. I felt led to confess something while AJ was talking. I wanted to, as we go into our time of Selah, we sort of process everything that the Lord is teaching us and speaking to us right now. And I believe the Lord is speaking to a lot of us on this level. And so my confession is that for years and years, I would try to avoid Blue Christmas at all costs. Because I don't like leaning into all the sorrow at Christmas. I was like, no, I just want to be in my Hallmark movies and be happy. And I just wanted to escape. And every year I have to go because I work here. And the older I get, the more I'm like, I just like realizing the meaning of Christmas, you know? And it's like the older I get, I've realized that everything in me fights against the fact that this world is not as it should be. And I hate that, and I wish it was. But that makes us long for the kingdom. That makes us long for a time when the world will finally be as it should be. And now I've learned to lean into that, and I've learned that Advent is not just celebrating the fact that Christ has come, but that Christ is coming again. And so that's those moments where you realize, like, I really, you know, have had to stop looking at the happy of Christmas and embrace the joy of Christmas, that things aren't as they should be, but one day they will be. Christ has come, he is coming again, and that is where our joy comes from, that no matter what is going on in this world, that the light has come into the darkness, and the light will overcome the darkness. That is where we have joy. So thank you, AJ, for that incredible reminder. And thank you, Lord, for not letting us fall into the counterfeits of the season, but to stop and stare into the manger and realize, where all these gifts come from, the love, the joys, the peace, the hope. So as we go into Selah, maybe there's something that you need to confess. You know, maybe you have tried to find your joy in something other than Jesus. And so, God, we come before you right now, and we thank you, God, that you are our hope, you're our joy, you're our peace, you're our love, you're our Lord, you're our Savior, that you came and that you're coming again, that you promised to make all things new. We thank you that you are a God that is for us. And so, God, when you are for us, who can be against us? So, Lord, as we come now and we fall to our knees and we bow before you, Father, I pray that you would help us not, help us encounter you and help us not to be filled with fear, but filled with joy, just like AJ was saying, God. Help us to see you, have that reverent awe, but then be filled with joy, the unspeakable joy that can only come from you. Have your way in us, Lord.